Hello and welcome to Second Gear, where we talk about the Asian motorsport scene, the opportunities as well as the challenges. I'm Mark Dreyer, joining me, Sean Henshelwood. Sean, we've just had the Chinese Grand Prix early on in the Formula One season. What did you make of the race?
I thought it was very, very impressive. I'm Australian. We had an Australian winner. And of course, the famous Shuey and the biggest smile in world motorsport for Daniel Ricciardo. That was good. But I think ultimately, even though we're into season 2018, the last couple of years we've seen the domination of Mercedes, obviously. Ferrari have been the next best in line, followed by Red Bull. It looks like being very much the same. Same six drivers at the front of the field as there has been all year. And the void between them and the rest is just a little bit too big for my mind. There has been some changes. I mean, I think more so than there being a change that Ferrari have stepped up a gear, they've certainly moved forward a little bit. I think Mercedes have probably dropped the ball a little bit this year. Certainly Lewis Hamilton, Valtteri Bottas has pushed him a little bit harder. That's been interesting. The Red Bulls, they're kind of the next in line. They're not really yet capable of taking the ultimate fight through to Ferrari and Mercedes. They use strategy. Sometimes it works. We've seen it fail a lot, but they've really been in the game. But we need to make this more interesting. And I think that's one of the big problems for the promoters and new owners of Formula One is that how do we make this interesting? How do we breach that gap between the haves and the have-nots?
Now, as a Brit, I don't want to dwell too much on the Australian victory.
Oh, please, please. You celebrate it as much as we do.
But Ricciardo, people might not know this, but spent some time early in his career racing for the Eurasia team, which is based here. So as a kid, he was driving at Shanghai and some of the other circuits around the region. Is that just a nice part of the story? Do you think that actually has some relevance to why he was able to win?
I think you talk to any of the professional drivers worldwide now. We often see it with drivers that come into things like Blancpain GT Series Asia, the GT Asia Series, China GT from Europe, the pro drivers in GT competition. And you think, well, they don't know the circuit as well as the locals. They'll all admit it takes half a dozen laps to get your head around it. They can say this corner looks a bit like that one in Belgium or that one in France or that one in Germany. We can piece it together, get a fast lap out. So I don't think the track experience really plays. The thing that's interesting from that period of Daniel Ricciardo's career is that, and I'm talking too much already, is that he had the opportunity to go from just outside of karts in Australia as a young man, and instead of taking that big step of going all the way to Europe and trying to find a path amongst hundreds of other talented young kids from different parts of Europe, he could step straight across to Asia where the pool was a lot shallower, be in a competitive series, and the one that you're talking about was Formula BMW backed by the German factory, put the runs on the board there, be competitive, perhaps not any more or less competitive really than any other top kids. Earl Bamber is another one who was in that particular pool at the time. Of course, he went on to win Le Mans for Porsche. But then from there, he had the opportunity to go into Europe again with BMW, and he was picked up by Red Bull. The rest is history. I worry now that that doesn't happen anymore. The void from karts through to something like Formula 3 or to GP3 is so big. You're talking millions of dollars. You hear about things like European Formula 3. Unless you've got $1 million in your back pocket, that's just to lease the drive. And that's not necessarily a front-running team. That's huge. Daniel Ricciardo didn't have to go through that. I don't think he had the millions and millions of dollars to back himself up, but he had that stepping stone. Those things worked. And that's one of the beauties of Asia. We still don't see it yet now, do we? I mean, you've been around the game a long time in Asia. There's not enough of these people from other parts of the world coming into Asia. They're slowly seeing it, but it's a good stepping stone to actually open up a career. Asian Le Mans is another one. Gets you to Le Mans and into that.
Like Ricciardo, if you look at his particular case, I mean, it was 2008, I think, that he was racing in this part of the world. So he has shown there is an alternative career path, but it hasn't exactly opened the floodgates. We've seen a few, and you mentioned them, Earl Bamber, Alessio Picariello, of course, did well with Audi, now as an Audi factory driver around the world.
But not a factory driver, was pointed out today. He's not a factory driver, but he's picked up by one of the leading customer racing operations in Europe. It's almost as good as being a factory driver, but we should make that point. It's not a factory driver.
But we're still, I mean, we can kind of name these people who've come over to Asia on the fingers of one hand, really. Yes, there is a difference, but there's still a big gulf in class between your average European competition and the ones over here.
I think it's still the haves and the have-nots. I mean, it's sad now. We have a lot to do, obviously, with GT and GT3 competition. They're now talking that the drives that are available in these cars are being paid for by professional drivers. They have sponsorship to take those seats. Now, if all those doors are closing because the elite have to pay for a drive, Where can you go? How do you get that next step? I think the bigger problem for world motorsport is how do you breach that gap from being very good in karts, even with a bit of a budget, to go the next step? What is the next step now? It's a big, tough void to breach.
Now, we're talking about Asia, but of course, everyone is looking to the Chinese market. F1, for so many years, has just been all Bernie, but with Liberty Media coming in, they've been examining what exactly they can do to change things up. And they said news was coming out just in the few days before the Chinese Grand Prix that they were going to set up a Chinese joint venture. And they've been talking to partners. They've admitted this. Setting up commercial and marketing operations separate here, a similar entity to the one that they have already in London. The interesting thing, I think most interesting thing that came out of those reports, Sean Branch is the commercial director, admitted that they're looking at a second Formula One race in China. I mean,
where is the obvious question? I mean, we don't have a second circuit that is the Formula One grade. I mean, obviously we have the Hermann Tilke-built Shanghai International Circuit. That's there, but you're going to have to build this sort of thing from scratch. Although we know that the Chinese, if they want to do something, look at the second airport in Beijing, they can do it very, very quickly, a lot faster than anywhere else in the world. But there has to be some sort of benefit, both commercially or even for the local government. We spoke earlier, it's possible that you could generate enough for a local government to build it. It's jobs, it's bringing people into the local region. Obviously, there's commercial partnerships and things like that. One that we can't discount, certainly coming from Australia, knowing this on a circuit that is, well, it's a day-to-day road. It becomes a racetrack for 4 or 5 days of a year. Tourism is another big one. So, okay, that's fine. It's great to say that, but you've actually got to put that in motion, and that could be the big thing.
Now, I think we should make clear that, you know, they're not looking at this anytime soon. They're talking about years down the line. It's just a possibility. But we've seen in China in particular, local tourism bureaus, local cities will build a stadium. They'll try and attract a big international sporting event. They get that attention. I think they're probably disappointed in the follow through. What happens after the razzmatazz, everything goes out of town? Are they coming back to, particularly if it's outside of Beijing or Shanghai, are they really being put on the tourism map? Are people going to go to these tier 2, tier 3 cities just because they've seen a race? You know, particularly when the race is not in town, it could be a huge moneymaker for that particular week. But I worry about what happens the other 51 weeks of the year.
Well, there's a couple of examples of that. One of them's Korea International Circuit, another Hermann Tilke-built circuit. It's built well away from Seoul. In fact, about as far south as you can go.
Nightmare to get to.
Yeah, and it's not easy to go to. It's in a lovely spot, but that's going to die a slow death because there isn't enough racing to keep it going. The one thing that some of these circuits do operate with, though, motor racing, sadly, being a race fan, is not particularly profitable. It's the commercial enterprise that goes on. So what I mean is they have drive days. Manufacturers come and test there. They close the circuit off. They might invite a select group of corporate people for entertainment, do a car launch, all those sorts of things. Those things are more profitable for an operating circuit, unfortunately, than motorsports. They don't really want to have motorsport there. China, it's the emerging market. I don't think there's any doubt for anybody in the industry in China or in Asia that China will boom at some point. I think people are admitting or suspecting it's boomed already. I don't think it has. I don't think the signs are there. It's not quite ready yet. It will happen. So it's not impossible to think that there would be a second Formula One facility in China. There's new circuits. There's another new circuit being built now in Beijing. There's some just outside of Tianjin as well. There's things going on. So it's going to explode at some point.
Are any of these grade 2 circuits, are they upgradable? They'd have to build a whole new facility.
It tends to be that they're built within the confines of a set parcel of land, so I don't know that they are necessarily upgradable. It's runoff areas, it's safety, it's pits, it's accessibility, it's things like evacuation abilities and medical centres and all those sorts of things that a proper Formula One circuit needs. There's a lot of infrastructure involved in that. So it needs wholesale land and expansion ability. And I don't think the ones that are set, that have been built now, have that option. So I think it's got to be somewhere new, and perhaps it's already under plan and underway.
Yeah, but I think you nailed on those two important things. You know, first of all, where it needs to be at least reachable from one of the major cities. If not Beijing, of course we already have Shanghai, Guangzhou, Shenzhen, down in the south, outside of that, I think you'd struggle just in terms of...
We talked about Korea International Circuit, Sepang International
Circuit. Lasted 4 years, didn't it, Korea, before it was off the calendar?
Yeah, but Sepang, they don't host Formula One anymore. It was not profitable. It's built next to Kuala Lumpur International Airport. It's 70 Ks from the capital of Malaysia. That's not a good case study when a circuit that well-placed, that is world-class, stops hosting Formula One because it's just not a viable option.
Now, this leads into the next thing I want to talk to you about. Formula One, of course, doesn't have a Chinese driver. If it does, you can imagine kids, at least at the very least, watching it. People love their sporting heroes in this part of the world. Fernando Alonso announced just in the run-up to the Chinese Grand Prix that his karting academy was planning to build 40 go-kart tracks in China, as well as a handful of driving academies, in the next 5 years. Now, sounds pretty ambitious. Fantastic news, first of all, if he's able to pull it off. Can this, as he says he wants to do, can this find a Chinese Formula One driver?
I think the problem is, in many cases, there's not the culture. China comes into these things as it has over so many years, where it develops a product or a culture very, very quickly on a new sport or a new enterprise. They make things happen so fast, but it's about experience. And a lot of the drivers we've seen in the open wheel categories, you've seen a lot of them in things like Formula Masters China Series, is they get into it as middle-aged teenagers or late-aged teenagers. They haven't had that culture. You talk about someone like Jenson Button, Nico Rosberg, Lewis Hamilton, Daniel Ricciardo. They were in karts at 5 or 6 years of age. I remember the first time somebody interviewed Jenson Button at 19 years of age, I think it was, when he'd gotten to Formula One. They said, wow, you're such a young man to be involved in Formula One. He said, I've been racing for 12 years.
Yeah.
This is second nature to me. I've been doing it most of my life. We don't have that so much in China because there hasn't been the opportunity. The kart circuits don't exist everywhere. I think if Fernando Alonso can put something like that into play, and let's face it, he'll use his name and his profile to build that up. There's a big culture of it in Thailand at the moment. You've got Carlo Van Damme, who races a lot in GT competition, working with Singer Motorsport and the Biren Bharti family in Thailand. They have a great culture in that country.
Now, is it working? What are we seeing? What kind of results are we seeing?
And we're seeing drivers come through. We've seen the Biren Bharti family come through as one. Tanat Sathanthirakul. You've got a bunch of drivers in the Lamborghini Super Trofeo series. The Thailand Super Series is emerging. Some of those drivers have come to Asia, to the bigger market, and raced on circuits like Sepang and Shanghai and been very, very competitive. In fact, Pity Biren Bharti, who drives with Carlo Van Damme, is racing in the Pro-Am category in Blancpain Series in Europe and being very, very competitive. They've been on the podium. In fact, I think they won the most recent round. So there is a good culture in Thailand. They've been developing that a lot longer than China has. Yeah. So if China can do that, start the kids early. You can get into a go-kart 6, 7 years of age. By the time you get to 12 or 13 and you're ready to go in a kart, you've got 5, 6 years experience. And that makes all the difference.
I think there's a couple of important points here. What China can do very, very quickly is develop the infrastructure.
Yes.
Almost overnight.
Yes.
So with Alonso getting the right partners, they can build these tracks. What you can't do, what China is unable to find a shortcut, is you can't make a five-year-old grow any quicker.
you can't
take a 15-year-old, it's too late.
No.
You have to start when the kids, whether it's football, it's 5 years old, if it's go-karts, maybe 7 or 8. But you have to wait 10 years at least until they can then start to get into the pro ranks. So people are going to want to say, well, why haven't we, you know, got a Chinese Formula One star 2 years after Alonso's got his tracks? But the best kids going through those training academies are going to be 9 and 10.
Well, look at golf with China's growth in things like golf and basketball and all sorts of other sports where it's taken time. Olympics, now they're a powerhouse in the Olympics and things like that. It's taken time to build to that level. The same thing's going to happen with motorsport. The culture is here. You see it all the time. There's more and more teams. There's more and more cars and all sorts of events. There's multiple championships. You go back 3 or 4 years ago, there weren't multiple GT championships. You had the Audi Sport R8 LMS Cup. You had Porsche Carrera Cup Asia. You had a couple of minor championships, GT Asia. Now that has blossomed. There's 2-3 times as many championships and enough cars in those fields to sustain those championships. So it's growing.
Sean Hanshaw-Wood, thank you very much.